This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The FBI gets involved in ForeclosureGate.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, our look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts its trading day. In a moment, we'll hear from an analyst about the latest developments in the ongoing foreclosure document dilemma. But first, where's Wall Street? The Dow is up 73 points at this hour, 11,051. The NASDAQ up about 0.2%, and the S&P 500 also up about 0.2%. Some key earnings today. Wells Fargo pulled a record profit in the third quarter, and Delta kicked off a big day of airline industry earnings with a profit of its own. Now to the ongoing mortgage documentation issue that's causing a lot of concern about some of the nation's biggest banks. We hear this morning that the FBI is looking into whether criminal laws were broken by banks that may not have complied with documentation requirements when ownership of mortgages was transferred. Dan Greenhouse is chief market economist at Miller Tabak. He joins us live from New York. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. The reason, Dan, that many people are concerned about this issue is that if banks end up having to buy back a lot of these mortgages and mortgage-backed securities that they thought they had sold, that we may end up in another financial crisis. What's your take on this story and how it's unfolding and how big a problem this could be?
Certainly, in a worst-case scenario event, it could be quite damaging to several of the larger banks, Bank America being the name that's, of course, mentioned most frequently right now.
Right.
In those types of situations, you're talking about a loss of somewhere around $30 to $90 billion, depending on who's doing the estimates. But it's important to remember in that event, this is a loss that will not be taken in one fell swoop that would require $90 billion worth of equity or capital injections, but rather a multi-quarter, if not a multi-year process that certainly hurts the banks and hurts earnings, but maybe isn't necessarily a crippling event.
It's not enough to bring them to their knees.
Well, in some cases it might be, and I would defer to specific bank analysts on which banks that would be, but I think, you know, whenever you hear $50, $60, $70 billion as a potential loss scenario, it is quite large and would require, in many respects, banks to tap the capital markets.
And briefly, Dan, Washington is obviously in a tricky situation here. They don't want to be; they want to make sure that they are being tough on banks that broke the law, but they don't want to put the financial system in jeopardy again. What's your take on their role?
Well, I mean, of course, if laws were broken as taxpayers, that in many respects saved some of these banks, we want to find out the extent of the law breaking and the damage that would ensue. But at the same time, you have to balance that against the fact that a lot of these banks are not in the healthiest position, and pushing them to the brink of bankruptcy or over the brink isn't necessarily in the immediate sense in the nation's best interest. But at the end of the day, if laws were broken, then laws were broken.
All right, Dan Greenhouse, thanks so much.
Great, thank you.
Dan Greenhouse is chief market economist at Miller Tabak. Well, China's central bank has raised interest rates for the first time in nearly 3 years. Marketplace's China bureau chief Rob Schmidt says they're doing that to slow the Chinese economy down.
The 0.25% hike comes one day before China's set to release third quarter GDP growth figures. Coincidence? Nope.
The data is going to be a little bit hotter than they would like, and they're signaling they'd like things to cool off a little bit more.
Economist Andy Rothman says China's on its way to ending the year with double-digit GDP growth. For a country like the U.S., that would be great. Here's why it's not for China.
Rising inequality, damage to China's environment, a lot of dependence on imported energy and raw materials.
Not too long ago, China was in double-digit GDP growth territory with help from exports to Europe and the U.S. Now there are other factors, including a red-hot property market some fear could crash. Rothman thinks this rate hike will have a gradual impact. Lending in China follows strict quotas set by the Communist Party. This lack of a market-driven banking system means interest rate hikes here tend not to ripple throughout the economy as much as they do in the U.S. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Wall Street Journal Weekend, offering four sections of ideas and information, available at newsstands every Saturday. And by Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio.
Today, the National Football League plans to send a memo to teams about changes in disciplinary action. The league is getting tougher about tackles, especially when they involve head injuries. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports.
Last Sunday, the Atlanta Falcons went head-to-head against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Third down and six. Mob in trouble. It's a big hit on DeSean Jackson.
A headbutt knocked out Eagle receiver DeSean Jackson. It's the kind of hit that has the NFL rethinking how to protect its players. The league has imposed bigger fines. On NBC last Sunday, former safety Rodney Harrison said previous fines did not deter him.
Fining me $5,000 or $10,000 really didn't affect me. If they're going to change the nature of these hits, you have to suspend guys.
Suspensions can cost a player hundreds of thousands of dollars, but they're about more than lost income. Suspensions can also threaten a starting spot on the team. University of Chicago professor Alan Sanderson follows the economics of sports.
If you're suspended, your place can be taken temporarily or maybe permanently down the road by somebody else.
Beginning this weekend, the NFL will start suspending players for getting too violent on the field. At the same time, Sanderson says the league is walking a fine line, trying not to alienate fans by making football too tame.
The fans like hard hits. Violence sells.
Violence may sell, but it also carries a cost. Kevin Guskowitz directs the Sport-Related Traumatic Brain Injury Center at the University of North Carolina. He's studied hundreds of retired NFL players.
Those with three or more concussions during their pro career were five times more likely to experience cognitive impairment that is believed to be a precursor then to Alzheimer's disease.
But Guskowitz says 9 out of 10 former players who enter his office say even with all the injuries, they would still have played professional football. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And finally, Bernie Madoff's velveteen slippers are going up for auction next month. They're red. They have his initials embroidered in gold thread. The auction is going to benefit the victims of his Ponzi scheme. They're also auctioning off a bronze statue of a bull. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Did you ever notice there's a whole lot of frozen yogurt shops around? Yeah, it's tasty stuff, not too fattening either. But did you know they're a solid tenant in a shaky real estate market?
I think that's the attraction to the landlords is you can throw in a frozen yogurt store. They'll sign a one-year lease. They're able to have a tenant while they ride out this market.
Fro-yo-palooza next time on Marketplace. It's from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.